News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Now, the HSE has said that the threat posed by the Delta variant is the last big hurdle to cross in relation to COVID-19. The variant, which now accounts for 90% of the cases here, has potential impacts throughout the rest of this month and into August and September, we're hearing. For more on this, we're joined now by Professor Philip Nolan, Chair of the NPHET Irish Epidemiological Modelling Advisory Group. Good morning, Professor Nolan. Can I ask you, first of all, do you agree with that statement that Delta is the last big hurdle we have to cross?
Well, it may be. It's certainly the last hurdle we have to cross before the population as a whole is fully protected through vaccination. So any challenge that we face beyond September will be confronted by the very high levels of protection offered by vaccination. So it's a very significant challenge right now, and it's a very significant hurdle. It's a surprising virus. It may not be the last challenge we face, but any challenge into the future will be very different from the ones we faced in the past and the ones we face now.
Okay, but I suppose you mentioned the vaccine rollout, and we are doing impressively well. I think it's fair to say everyone would agree with that. At the vaccine rollout currently, I think it's 300,000 doses this week, 360,000 almost last week. So huge levels of vaccines being delivered. If and when we all, and we'll talk about herd immunity in just a moment, but if and when a greater proportion of us are vaccinated, can there be further hurdles? Is it a real concern that a variant, like an actual real concern that a variant will emerge that will be vaccine resistant?
Well, it's always a possibility, and it's not a spectre that I want to raise now. I think we need to deal now with the problem that we face now, which is the highly transmissible Delta variant, and the fact that we need to prevent transmission of that variant while we're working through those last few weeks of protecting the remaining people over 16 in our population through vaccination. So just between now and then, two fundamental messages. We all need to stick to the basics. We're out and about, and that's great. We're exhausted, it's summer, we're wishing it's all over, and we're simply getting too close. As you walk around the city and you see people enjoying themselves, we're just letting it slip. We're up in each other's faces. We're sharing our droplet sprays and aerosols, and that's how the virus is transmitted.
Okay, so concerns around
that. So that's message one.
Okay.
And message two, I think, is to those who are awaiting vaccination. It's a hard message. We have to say to you, get your vaccine. Wait for it to be effective. Wait the 7 days after your second dose of Pfizer, the 14 days after your final dose of the other vaccines. And in the meantime, avoid those higher risk activities that they're not safe for you. And they're not safe if you pick it up. They're not safe for the people that you might pass this virus on to, the people that you love. So it's tough.
Yes.
But can we wait a few weeks? Avoid those high-risk indoor socialisation and travel activities until you're protected through vaccination.
Philip, can I ask you, what are our models currently predicting? Because I know we heard those, I suppose, frighteningly stark figures at the end of June. 700,000 cases was the worst-case scenario that seemed to grab everyone's attention. But currently, what do you believe we're looking at?
So our models are predicting, and this is a very unsatisfactory answer, they're telling us that we don't know. Because everything depends upon how we as individual members of society interact, behave, take those precautions over the coming weeks. If we do those carefully and assiduously, we could find ourselves in a position like Scotland, where case numbers rise quite quickly to a peak. And then as people realise that the virus is transmitting, just pull back that little bit, lean back, stay out of each other's immediate zone where we can spread the virus. We could see us getting through the next few weeks with a modest wave of disease around our optimistic scenario, perhaps significantly better. If we take the signal of what's happening over the next couple of weeks as a signal to return to normal, particularly for those of us who have not yet been vaccinated, then we could see those more central or pessimistic scenarios pan out. I'm really hopeful that we don't.
So many variables, it's quite difficult for you. I hear what you're saying, quite difficult for you to give me a figure. But Leo Varadkar has said that he, and I'm sure he has access to much of the data that you must be sharing with him, has said that he expects a peak of cases maybe at around 3,000 to 4,000 cases per day. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that would follow the Scottish trajectory. So Scotland's similar size country, similar culture. It's entirely possible that we would follow that trajectory.
So about
We need to what we need to
half the
watch.
case numbers we would have seen in wave three. Can I ask you though, we're also hearing that 4,000 cases now is more like 400 cases previously because of the intervention of vaccines and that weakening of the link between, I suppose, cases and hospitalizations or deaths. Is that your interpretation of it, that 4,000 cases in July 2021 is a bit like 400 in January 2021?
Well, it's more like 1,500 or 2,000 cases when it comes to the risk, because when you've got the case, you've got the case either in an unvaccinated person or it's a breakthrough infection in a vaccinated person. So you've got the infection. And then, of course, yes, the vaccine offers some additional protection. So first of all, the vaccine is preventing infections, a lot of them. We would be seeing well north of 10,000 cases a day right now if we didn't have the vaccine protection. So the vaccine is protecting against infection. And then if you're unfortunate enough to get an infection and you're vaccinated, you're less likely to progress to severe disease. So you're right. I mean, we have 80% of the population, almost their first dose. 2/3 of the population has the regimen complete. When you put all that through a model looking at vaccine effectiveness, the risk now of getting an infection in society is about 30% of what it was. The risk of progressing to severe disease is 10 to 15%. So the link is weakened,
but
but not
I suppose that
broken.
10 to 15% is where people are saying, well, 8,000 cases in January is 800 cases. 8,000 cases to date, rather, is 800 cases in January. So that's what I meant when I was saying.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's a misinterpretation because you
Okay.
need to look at you're giving
You
the
think it's about
vaccine.
half? Okay.
Yeah.
We had Professor Paul Moyna on earlier on, immunovirologist, and he was talking about herd immunity. He says, in his view, it's going to be extremely difficult to achieve. This is what he said on News Talk Breakfast this morning. And he also said that he has some concerns about the mass vaccination of children, that there is an argument to be had about the risk versus the benefit in the childhood population. What's your view on that?
So, to a large extent, he's correct. I mean, first of all, herd immunity is kind of an abstract mathematical concept that thinks about a population as a homogeneous entity that you can apply mathematics to. And one of the great unknowns about the Delta variant is what is its basic reproduction number? How transmissible is it really? And in order to calculate herd immunity threshold, you have to know pretty precisely how transmissible the virus is. The more transmissible the virus, the more people we have to vaccinate in order to
Yes, and
prevent
he
its
made that point
transmission.
too. But with regard to the inoculation of children, what's
Well,
your...
that's why we have a National Immunization Advisory
All
Council,
right.
and that's why it's independent. You're absolutely right. Vaccines protect you as an individual, and they protect others, and they present very, very low risks to you as an individual through taking them. So, NIAC, absolutely. I think we need to think about it in the following terms. We need to set as a priority, and we're doing really well, get as many people over 16 years of age vaccinated. That offers us huge protection. We then, so when you look at 16 to 18 year olds, 12 to 15 year olds, and 0 to 12 year olds, they behave somewhat differently when it comes to getting and transmitting this virus. And we need to think about those three cohorts. What are the risks to them, the benefits to them, and the benefits to all of
Yeah.
us in terms of a
So
vaccination program there.
we will
So,
await NIAC's position on that, and that's entirely fair. Can I ask you, though, on the front page of the Irish Independent this morning, Professor, foreign travel Delta danger as 800 cases are recorded, 800 cases identified as being travel related. Considering, I know international travel is back open since the 19th for non-essential purposes, but considering how low level travel is currently in this country compared to what it would normally be, and that is only likely to increase. Are you significantly concerned about international travel at the moment? Do you see that as our Achilles heel?
We're worried about it in three ways. But the primary reason that we're worried right now is that we can see a significant amount of travel in people who are not yet vaccinated. And that's a real risk to them. They could end up severely ill. Not many of them, but some of them will end up severely ill. But more worryingly, they may infect somebody that they love very much, that is vaccinated but is unfortunate enough to get a significant or severe infection through this. So we're not so much concerned about this fueling the next wave of the epidemic. It's not doing that. It's a relatively minor contributor in the grand scheme of things to the amount of transmissions we're seeing on the island. But it's important. It's important because it's in an unvaccinated population and it presents risk to them and risk to others. So it's a reiteration of the advice that high-risk activities like indoor socialisation and travel, we're asking unvaccinated people to postpone their plans to do those things until they're protected.
So that is the bottom line. Unvaccinated people need to take care currently. Look, thank you very much for all of that this morning. That is Professor Philip Nolan, Chair of NPHET's Irish Epidemiological Modelling Advisory Group.